Well, this morning, being Mother's Day, I thought about great mothers around the world, what makes them great in the Lord's sight. It's not money. It's not position or fame. Something different. I think of my grandmother. Probably no one here would ever know her, even her name. But a marked impression she made on me when I would watch as a young grandson, when I'd go to their home in Oklahoma and watch her take out her Bible and read. I think of my own mother, her daughter, who I watched read her Bible faithfully. I knew right where it was, right there beside her chair. And I could see the wornness to the Bible. I knew how often she used it. The example, Timothy had Lois, his grandmother, Eunice, his mother. And then the Lord gives us, I think, perhaps an eye into Solomon's eye of his mother. And remember, his mother had had some failures. You'll notice that his mother was one that had committed adultery with, if you recall, with David, King David. Now, I don't know that it was all her fault. I don't know that she had any fault in it. But I'm certain that she was tainted a little bit with it. But here we get a point of view from Solomon to be able to say, look, a godly woman, a woman that is a good mother is one that is of great price. You know, I'm just reminded of a lot of things have been written by what a woman of great worth is, a mother. My mother, written by Jane Taylor, who fed me and hushed me in her arms to rest, and on my cheek, sweet kisses pressed. That's my mother. When sleep forsook my open eye, who was it that sang a sweet lullaby and rocked me when I could not cry? My mother. Who sat and watched my infant head when sleeping on my cradle bed and tears of sweet affection shed? My mother. When pain and sickness made me cry, who gazed upon my heavy eye and wept for fear that I should die? My mom. Who ran to help me when I fell? And would some pretty story tell or kiss the place to make it well? My mother. Who taught my lips to pray, to love God's holy word and his holy day, and to walk in wisdom's pleasant way? My mother. And can I ever cease to be affectionate and kind to thee, who was so very kind to me, dear mom? I do think that mothers have molded the world in a way that we could never imagine. I'm reminded that in Proverbs 31, a woman is described here that is of supreme value. You'll notice he says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? And this woman is a mother, for who her price is far above rubies. In other words, she is without price. You could not take an amount of money and say, I want to buy a godly wife. He says, more than rubies, which was one of the great treasures of the day. First thing, I'm going to give you some keys this morning that would describe a priceless mother. Number one, she has trusted the Lord personally. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord. Now, a woman, and this is the Old Testament's way of saying she's put her trust in the Lord. If you have your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy 10:12. I want you to see that, Deuteronomy 10:12. Let me read it to you. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord require, thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul. So you see, the first thing about salvation here is that I've learned to put my trust in the Lord, a fear of the Lord. There is a point in time where every woman that's going to be a godly woman has got to take and say, Lord, I want you to be my Savior. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. And you'll see another great mother, Hannah. Notice in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And Hannah rejoiced and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. Notice this, because I rejoice in thy salvation. I think every godly woman has got to have had a time in their life. And it may have been when they're 4 or 5 years old as a young child. If they had a godly mother, it may have been that. They've gone to church. They learned of the Lord at an early age. Deuteronomy chapter 6 clearly teaches that we're to teach our children. We're to make home a place where the Lord is. You know, I remember reading a little article about someone that had visited America, and this person was a person from China, and they came and visited America and said, you know, I've seen this place, and she had come as a student, and was in college, and she stayed with a family that was a Christian family, and so when she's ready to go home, the Christian mother said to her, said, look, what did you think about America? What did you think about our God? And what did you think about our church? And what did you think? Because she had been taken to church. And keep in mind, in China, they have their gods on shelves in their homes. And she says, well, I'm very impressed with all that you have. And I'm very impressed with your church building. But she said, there's something a little different that I didn't understand. She said, I didn't see your God in your home. We have our gods on shelves in our houses. So what had happened was, this was a Christian home that went to church and worshiped the Lord, but their God was not real enough to talk about, to pray to, and spend time with in their home. And the young girl had picked it up. And she says, where is your God in your home? And I know that every godly woman that's a mother wants her children to learn at her knee about the things of the Lord. And that starts with trusting the Lord as your Savior. Every mother wants to be able to teach their children about the Lord, to where they've trusted Christ as Savior. And so I know that I've had funerals where mothers have said to me, I don't know if my son or daughter is in heaven, and it just grieves me. And yet my point is, I've known others that have said, I know my child has trusted the Lord. I know Susan, my wife, she was so thrilled because it was her that led Jeremy to Christ. And he's even told you the story. They were driving behind me coming here to Virginia. And he's a young boy. And they got to talking about spiritual things. And she shared with him her salvation story, and he wanted to be saved. So all I'm saying to you is that it is important that a mother knows Christ as Savior. She has trusted the Lord as her Savior. But notice, number two, she must be one to talk to the Lord. Herself. In other words, it's not just she's put the Lord, her faith and trust in the Lord, but her God is real to her. If you'll have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to 1 Samuel. Look at chapter 1. Now, this is the story of Hannah, who... Now, Hannah has got a problem, a burden. She's got an adversary that makes fun of her because she can't have children. She's broken over it. And every godly woman knows where to take her problems. She knows who to talk to and how to talk to it. And you'll notice, if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 1. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she said, O Lord of hosts, in verse 11, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give thine handmaid a man child, that I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. So here's a woman that says, look, Lord, I'm not able to have children, but Lord, I want to talk to you about this. And I think every godly woman would learn to take the burdens of their heart, whatever it might be. It might be to have a child. It might be to protect your child. I can remember many a night coming in from being out with Susan over to her home with her parents. And I remember coming in and hearing my mom praying in the other room. I can hear a sort of a quiet murmur as I walked in the door. And I go in, I crack the door open to her bedroom. She'd be beside her bed praying for me. There was a burden that I would do what was right. There was a burden that I would love the Lord, that I would yield to the will of God. And she prayed about that every day. A woman that's a godly mother must take her children and say, Lord, I want you to watch out for the burden of my heart. And I would ask today, do you know how to pray? Not just mothers. But when we get a burden, we can do several things with it. We have a desire of our heart. We can work the best we can to try to get what we want. Or we can say, Lord, I'll do my best, but Lord, not my will, yours be done. If it be your will, would you grant me this thing? Lord, I'd like to have a position at work that would allow me to have this ability to take care of my family. Lord, this is what I'd like. Would you promote me at work? Or we can just do our best to push everybody else down and make it happen. Hannah learned and said, I'm going to talk to my Lord. I'm going to talk to him. Have you, as a mother today, learned how to talk to the Lord? I want you to notice who to: the Lord of heaven, your Savior. And that's what Hannah was saying in chapter 2, verse 1. I've already read, my salvation, my Lord. She claimed the Lord as her own. So you pray to the God that knows your name, that you've prayed to and asked for salvation. That's who you pray to. But then you learn how to pray. And it's not just a simple, hey, Lord, give me this and give me that. But she was in bitterness of soul. She learned to pour her heart out to the Lord. And folks, today, every man, woman, and boy in this room and watching on the internet, greatness spiritually cannot happen in your life unless you learn to talk to the Lord. Unless you learn how to talk to him. One, regularly. You've got to have a time with the Lord. Daniel, one of the greatest Christians that's ever lived, three times a day paused his daily schedule, and he was prime minister of Babylon, with Darius and three different kings. And yet he would pause to take time three times a day to say, Lord, could I talk to you a little bit? He talked to the Lord because he needed the Lord. We talk to the Lord regularly. We talk to the Lord about everything. In other words, every subject. He's our best friend. We learn to go to him and share with him the burdens of our heart. We learn to weep before him. We learn to pour our hearts out before him. I love the way Hannah did it. She came in and she poured her heart out before the Lord. And the Bible says she was weeping. And when she got up, finished praying, she went on about her way. She said, I left it with the Lord and I'll trust him to take care of it. We learn to trust the Lord with our prayers. Every great mother has to learn who to talk to and how to pray. And every great father is the same way. But you'll notice, if you would, not only do we trust the Lord as a great mom or husband or father, but we learn to talk to the Lord. And finally, we learn to teach our children. You'll notice that as I read the little poem of Jane Taylor, she taught me how to pray. She taught me how to sing. She taught me that the Lord loved me. You know, folks, I'm afraid today parents teach their children lots of things, but it's not spiritual things. It's not that God just does love them. Susanna Wesley had 17 children. It was reported that she took an hour a week with every child to teach them the things of the Lord. Now, can you imagine taking 17 hours a week? That's the equivalent of a part-time job, just teaching your children about the things of the Lord individually. And so I look at that example and I think of two things. Number one, she wanted to be able to have a personal connection with her children to teach them. You know, one of the things that our school does now is they teach virtually. I don't think a great godly wife and a godly mother teaches virtually. I think she teaches physically. And I think the best kind of teaching is physically. Oh, it may be that your child is far away, or your child is not able to be present. You have to use the phone. You have to do virtual teaching. But I think every godly mother is one that's burdened for their children enough to teach them about the things of the Lord. If you have your Bible, turn me, if you want, to Deuteronomy. I just want you to see this very quickly. Chapter 6. It's a famous verse in our church because we use it all the time because it's such a great example for all of us. If you'll notice in verse number 1, this is Deuteronomy 6, in verse number 5. This is what everyone was to teach. This is what everyone in Israel was to teach their families. Verse number 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. A mother teaches that. But she has to display it herself. That's the reason she has to know how to talk with the Lord. But you notice in verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. I think when you teach spiritual things, it's got to come from your heart. It can't come from your head. Every godly mother sits down with her children. And I can remember sitting down with my mother as she would talk to me about spiritual things. And she would talk to me about things. But I could tell it was coming from here. She was desperate for me to get it. And when I heard her pray, she was desperate for me to get it. And Hannah was desperate for Samuel to get it. So no wonder when he was a young man, the Bible says in 1 Samuel, the last verse of chapter 1, verse 28, that he was there. And when she dropped him off at the temple, he worshiped the Lord as a young child. He learned it because she taught him. Have you taught your children to pray? Have you taught your children how wonderful the Lord is? Listen to this home environment. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Now the husband is out working in the fields. So who do you think this was? Notice. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Verse number 9, thou shalt write them on the post of thy house and on thy gates. Do you understand that a mother and a father, but a mother in our society spends more time with the children normally. And so it is her responsibility, one of her responsibilities, to take the time to teach spiritual truths to her children. The spiritual truths of honesty. The spiritual truth of truthfulness. The spiritual truth of devotion to her God, to their God. Some point in time, the mother transfers from her heart in teaching to her children where they want her God. That doesn't happen. It doesn't start when they're 14 years old. It starts when they're months old. You sing the stories of the Lord. I remember many a night, we had a red storybook about that thick. And one of my favorite things, it was every night, we'd sit down and I'd get up in her lap and I'd sit there and she'd say, what story do you want tonight? And it had a few pictures in it. Of course, you didn't have a lot of television that day, but I can still remember the picture of Moses in my mind. That was 60 some odd years ago. I can still remember the picture of Moses parting the Red Sea. And she sat there and told me the stories and said, do you understand what God can do for you? If he parted the Red Sea, do you think, David, what God could do for you? I was so excited when I got to be a teenager. One thing I wanted to do, I wanted to preach the gospel. Why? Because my mother instilled into my heart this love for God and this dream of what he could do for people. You'll notice she speaks of salvation. She speaks of integrity. She teaches about what to love and what not to love, but she teaches what to stay away from. If you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs 31. Notice, if you would, look in verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Watch this. What, my son? What, the son of my womb? What, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, or thy ways that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of the afflicted. So she's teaching her son against the dangers of alcohol. So it's a mother's responsibility to say, look, watch out for those boys or those girls that act like that. Watch out for those kind of friends. You don't want to go to that particular place. Look, it's a bad place. It can get to your heart and ruin your heart. A mother teaches her children spiritual truths that give him a bright future. My mother did that for me, and I'm grateful. And I remember each night we'd sit down and take that book, and it was exciting to me to pick another story. I think that's one of the reasons I love the children's story. It's because I grew up with a children's story. I mean, my mom would read it to me. And it was my favorite thing. I'd get a chance to go to, okay, Mom, okay, what story tonight? What story tonight? And that book was that thick with children's stories. Now, some were my favorites. I think I saw David kill Goliath probably 20 times a year, or 30 times a year. I mean, it was a great joy to me. And my mom read it all the time with the same joy. It was fun for me. What's life like if a mother doesn't do that? If she doesn't teach from a heart of passion to her children? You know what I think it is? I think it's America. I think it's what we've got now. Children that don't know the Lord much. Children that don't respect their parents. I think children that set aside the value of a mother. I want you to notice, not only that, is she trusts the Lord as Savior. She talks of the Lord. And she teaches her children. But she takes care for her family. I think Proverbs 31 is a great example of how to take care of your family. Probably one of the greatest examples you could ever imagine. I don't know how this lady had time to sleep. I mean, just listen to this. Verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She's a loyal wife. You'll notice in verse number 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She was making clothing for her family. You'll notice in verse number 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She is a woman that's an early riser. I mean, she's working to make sure the family's taken care of. Notice, if you would, in verse number 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household. For all of her household are clothed with scarlet. She's prepared for her household. She's gotten the right clothing on them no matter what the season is. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She sews their clothing. She provides it for them. Do you understand? This woman watches out for her family. Now, when you go to the store to buy a new dress for your daughter, it's not normally dad. When you go to buy your children their new clothes, it's not normally dad. It could be. But usually mom goes and gets things and brings them home. She's the one that thinks about it. A guy's thinking about, is the mower working? Is the car got gas in it? Is, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the mom, well, she's thinking about the children. And you know, what can we do about getting them this and getting them that? Now, I want you to notice, if you have your Bible, turn back to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. And notice verse 18. I think this is kind of curious. Now, Elkanah was a godly man. And he had a great relationship with his wife. And they went to Jerusalem to worship every year. They're very faithful. Well, notice, if you would, in verse 18. Now, this is 1 Samuel 2:18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord. He's there with Eli, serving under a very unspiritual high priest. Being a child, girded with a linen ephod, he was wearing the appropriate priest garment for the day. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now, you'll notice, it is his mother that thinks about his coat. And she prepares his coat. Wasn't it dad? I think if there's a caretaker in the family, it's usually the mom. Now, that doesn't always mean it's the case. There are some women that don't have any compassion and don't care for the family at all. I've met them. And the father has to step in and take care. But under normal circumstances, and what God intends, is that a wife and a mother watches out for her children. She's a great caretaker. She's the one that, bottom line, is watching out to make sure they're provided for and that the needs are met. And I notice then that she is one that is a burden for them. And so you'll notice, if you would, I love the fact that she's a caretaker physically, but she's a caretaker spiritually too. Now, God holds the men responsible for the spiritual heart of the home. Hope you guys understand that. God doesn't look at a wife and say, you know, you didn't do this. I've always said, if Jeremy did right, Susan got the credit. If he did wrong, I get the blame, because I'm the one responsible. But she gets the credit because she spends the most time with him. So it's sort of like, you know, an executive of a company. If the company's doing well, he might get the credit and the bonuses. But really, and if it doesn't do well, then he gets the blame. He gets fired. But the people normally don't get fired. It's that chief executive that does. And so I just remind you that it's sort of like that with the Lord. The Lord holds husbands responsible. And you and I are the ones responsible to make sure there's food on the table, to make sure that we've provided for our families. Doesn't mean a wife doesn't work and doesn't help, but God doesn't require that. God requires a husband, you take care of your family. And then he looks at a wife and says, you take care of the family too, and you work together. And so I'm reminded, as I look in this passage, I see she's watching out for the children. She's watching out for him. But spiritually speaking, if you have your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel. When you notice this, 1 Samuel, notice what happens. 1 Samuel. Now, I'm certain they were praying together. Elkanah and his wife were praying together. about this little one. But I think she took it upon herself so much that it's listed in Scripture that she actually asked for this son. Now, I know the husband did, but she poured her soul into it. He had other sons and daughters. And I think it was important to him, but it just doesn't appear to be as important as to him as it was to her. Well, notice what she does with him. And I want you to see this in verse number 22. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I'll bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Notice what she said in verse number 28. Therefore, verse 27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him, or given him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he should be lent or given to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So he's a young boy, and she gave him to the Lord. Now she gave him to the Lord at birth. She promised the Lord he could have him before he was even born. Before he was even conceived, she said, Lord, if you give me a son, I promise you he's yours. I think every mother should be the caretaker of her children so much so that she lays them at the feet of the Lord before they're even born. And she doesn't take them off the altar for the rest of her life. I think every husband lays his children at the altar. And we don't take our hands off of them until we're gone. They're always in the hands of the Lord. A caretaker is one that watches out for things. We watch out and say, Lord, these children are yours. Today, what kind of a caretaker are you? Notice lastly, she is a type of Christ. She is a type of Christ. If you have your Bible, turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Way over in the New Testament. Notice, if you would, Titus chapter 2 and verse number 3. And we're going to end up in just a moment in Proverbs 31. But right now, Titus chapter 2, verse number 3. In verse 1, he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, things that God once taught, sound doctrine. Verse 3, the aged women, the older women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet. A whole list here. They're to learn to be a type of Christ that they can point people to the Savior. The example every godly mother is a picture of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, turn to Proverbs 31. Notice, if you would, Jeremy read it, verse 28. Proverbs 31, 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Why? Notice this. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. It's her type of Christ that makes the difference. It is that she does things with her hands that are right, and she does things with her heart that are right. Just look at her and let her own life say, wow, she reminds me of him. That is what every godly mother ought to be today. So much so that when the Lord takes you to heaven, there's a hole left. And somebody else has to fill in the blank. It's either a father or it's a daughter. But there always has to be a hole left when a godly mother goes to heaven, because she's such a type of Christ. Who's going to be next? That's the reason in Titus chapter 2, he says, look, the older women are to teach the younger women so the younger men can teach the younger children. It's exactly what my mother, my grandmother, I saw this pattern. My grandmother read her Bible. I watched it. Her daughter read her Bible. I watched it. I learned the children's stories on my mom's lap. It caused me to have a burning heart about, I want to tell people about these stories. And then whenever I was old enough to surrender my heart to the Lord, my mom says, Lord, would you call my son to preach? Would you call my son to do whatever you want him to do? And she never took her hand off of me. When I went away to college, my dad was gone. She was alone. She wouldn't have it any other way. One of the reasons I didn't leave college, I was so homesick. I was worried about my mom. I was homesick. I was already in love with Susan. I wanted to go back to Dallas, but there was one reason I couldn't leave college. Because I couldn't go face my mother after I quit. I couldn't do that to her. Her example of Christ was too great to me. How could I stop learning how to prepare to preach the gospel and go home and face my mother, who to me reminds me of Jesus Christ? We need that type. We need that pattern today. So that when a mom is gone, there's a hole left. The lines of Mary Galbraith when her mother went to heaven. It's awfully lonesome at our house without mother. It's just as quiet as a mouse without mother. As father looked so lonely there, of evening sitting in his chair, it just ain't cheerful anywhere without mother. It's awfully hard to get along without mother. Boy, in my house, if Jeremy didn't like peanut butter and jelly, he's in trouble. That's about all I can fix. Thank the Lord, Susan lasted a long time before the Lord took her to heaven. Because father does the best he can, but then you know, he's just a man. That's why we have pink underwear when we learn to wash our laundry. That's why we can't fix all kinds of things. It's because we're just a man. And he don't know how to fix a plan like mother. Seems like I don't enjoy my play without mother. Things just get worse every day without mother. There's no one now to mend my doll. Nobody's sorry when I fall. Now, you know, you think about that. When Jeremy would fall off his bike and he'd cry, Susan would say, oh, did he hurt himself? And I'd say, get back up on that bike. Dust yourself off. You know, I'm not worried about him. If he's hurt, there's no bone sticking out. I want to get back on and keep going. And she's wanting to kiss his knee if he's hurt something. And so I'm reminded, nobody's sorry when I fall. There's something about a mother and her sweetness and her tenderness. Nobody's sorry when I fall. Oh, home just isn't the same place at all without mother. But father says we must be brave without mother, because him and me have the Lord and one another. And if we trust and be strong and true, just like mom told us to do, we'll see her again when life is through, to see mom, to see mother. If the Lord took mother, what kind of a hole would be left? Oh, it ought to be one where I remember mom trusted the Lord. Oh, I remember mom. She talked with the Lord. I remember mom. She taught me about the Lord. I remember mother. She took care of us. She was a caretaker. She took care of us with the Lord. I remember mom. She was a type of Christ. She reminded me of Christ. You know, I'm grateful. My mother's in heaven. My grandmother's in heaven. I'm grateful that I had the privilege of growing up in a home with a great and godly mother. Today, if you're a mother, would you grant that same privilege to your children? Would you grant that same privilege to your grandchildren? Now, it's not just mothers this morning. Every one of these same ingredients could be the same said about a husband, a father. What are we like today? Do we like to teach our children about spiritual things? Have we trusted Christ? Do we talk with the Lord? Are we a type of Christ? Today, just remember, if your mother's still here, have you told her? Thank you. Have you told her you love her? Have you taken the time to be good to your mother today? Today's the day. Let's do that. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. Maybe you're here, and maybe you're watching on live stream, and you haven't been the kind of mother that this Proverbs 31 lady was, or Hannah, or Eunice, or Lois. You can always look at your family and say, look, I'm sorry. Today things are going to change. And if you have been, then my encouragement is to finish well. Try to be a blessing to those that are beneath you. Your daughter, your grandchildren, those around you. As Titus chapter 2 says, teach others also. And maybe today you're a mother and you've never trusted Christ as Savior. Could I encourage you to make this the greatest day of your life? When you bow your head and ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Savior. As the Proverbs 31 woman did. As Hannah did. We're going to have a word of prayer. And right where you are, if you're a mother that's never received Christ, would you trust Him? He'll save you right there. If you just tell Him, number one, you're a sinner and you know it. And you're sorry for your sin and you'd ask Him to forgive you. You'd like to go to heaven and you want Him to forgive you right now. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're a mom that you really haven't lived up to the standard of this Proverbs 31 woman. And you could say, Lord, I'm sorry. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And maybe you're here today and you've done the right things. Could I plead with you to keep it up and to love the Lord more today than you did yesterday? Lord Jesus, You deserve so much more than most of us are giving. Lord, I pray that You'd help every mother that's under the sound of my voice, whether here or at home. Lord, that You'd help them to have a burden today, 2020, to be the kind of mother that would honor You. When she steps foot inside heaven, she could look at you and hear you say, well done, mother. Well done, wife. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.